Therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio, 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. And we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. If you have a phone call for me or my guest, we're at 907-458-8255. And I have touched all the buttons. I've got all the buttons on right, so we are Vandalorts. District 32, we are recording. We're sending it out there in the airwaves. We're live. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, David. And let me congratulate you for getting elected.
Well, thank you. You can congratulate me for hopefully getting the airing right on this today.
Well, that too. That too.
You are running for State House.
House District 32, which consists of the Fairbanks neighborhoods east of the Steese Expressway. You know, it's Shannon Park, Island Homes, Hamilton Acres, Slater, and
North Pole, Badger Road.
And then Fort Wainwright and down the west part of Badger Road.
You've been in Fairbanks a long time.
I have. I've been here since 1978, and I'm not going anywhere.
You know, my definition of a Fairbanksan is anyone who stayed for the second winter. You've stayed for a few more winters than two.
I have, and I think I'm pretty much like most longtime Fairbanksans. I'd like to be a snowbird, but I haven't figured out how to do it yet.
I know the feeling. You've been your own operating business attorney for a number of years now.
I have. I've owned and operated my own business as a lawyer since 1980. I have advised thousands of people and hundreds of small businesses in the interior. And I think that experience has really helped me understand how laws impact people and businesses and will give me, I think, some insights when I go to Juneau.
You've also were elected and reelected to the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly.
That's correct. And I think that maybe is almost as good, you know, probably a better preparation for being a legislator, because you learn so much about the challenges and the opportunities of the interior when you're on the assembly. I was on for 6 years, and for four of those years I was on the Economic Development Commission. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot about what the economic drivers are in this community and what the challenges are. And for 2 years, I was on FMATS with you, David.
I know. I'm back on that again. Oh, my God.
Right. Well, it's called FAST now, but it's the Metropolitan Planning Organization, consisting of the borough and the two cities, where representatives basically decide how to allocate, I think about $8 million a year in federal transportation funding.
Road projects.
And, and it's important. It has a big impact on the people. And it's something that you really have to think through and plan ahead. And it was a good experience for me.
Also, I think one of the best experiences you had was most people who get elected and reelected is the legislative process and then working with your colleagues.
Right. No question about it. I've got 6 years of legislative experience already. So I know how bills are written, and I know how they're amended on the floor, and I know how to, work with other,
the body,
work with others on the assembly. It's a nonpartisan assembly, and you get more opportunities, I think, to work with people from different perspectives. Lance Roberts and I, we we co-sponsored a couple of ordinances throughout the years. And I think that gives me a strength as far as going down to Juneau. And a lot of what I've been telling constituents is that my goal is to rise above partisan politics and deal with, and understand people from different perspectives to find solutions for our problems. And I think my experience on the assembly, and then also I was on the Alaska Public Offices Commission for almost 3 years, gives me, that experience and that insight on how to look at things in a nonpartisan way.
And as an attorney for some decades, it also gives you experience of looking at a law being crafted and know how it can work and how it won't work.
Right.
How it can be amended to make it better.
That's correct. And, every day I'm talking to people who are impacted by laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see that. And I think it's going to help me craft laws and decide on laws down in Juneau.
You live in one of my favorite subdivisions I've never lived in, Hamilton Acres. No, I'm not a stalker, but you live over there. And, being in town, Fairbanks is the hub of the interior. You're in the city limits. You're in the hub of the interior. So you're basically, again, I'm not a stalker, but you're like 8 minutes from your office.
Right. And, I like the commute. For 25 years, I lived off of Gilmore Trail. And it was a beautiful, a beautiful location. And I saw the whole Tanana Valley. And the drive on the steeps was pretty every day. But being in town has some huge advantages. And I've been here in town for 17 years. And
you know your hood.
I know it. Yeah, I do. I do. I like Hamilton Acres in part because of its alleys.
Yeah.
It gives you a chance to, I like to ride my bike, and it's riding in the alleys is approaching off-road biking. And
It's interesting, the subdivisions with alleys. I grew up in Westgate. We had a couple alleys. Hamilton Acres. On both sides of Fairwell, you got alleys.
Right, right. And, they make sense.
Yeah.
And I think subdivisions ought to be laid out, like that. I've got, most of my utilities come from the back rather than from the front. And like I say, it's fun to go walking or bicycling in those alleys.
It is. It is. You decided to run for the State House. What brought you there?
Well,
and that's not an easy decision, and thank you for making that decision.
I think a lot of it, frankly, is that I'm equipped to do it. I have experience as a legislator, as a lawyer, and I was an economist before I came to Fairbanks for a year. I was a labor economist because my undergraduate degree consisted of a lot of economics. And so, I think the economics is going to help when it comes down to fashioning a budget, and obviously the law degree and the experience as a lawyer is going to help me draft laws.
And let's see, 40-some years in Fairbanks.
Yeah, 44 years.
In Fairbanks, yeah.
Yeah, 44. And I was in Anchorage for 3 months. And
Sounds like you're doing time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a beautiful location.
Yeah.
But it's not Alaska. It really isn't. So when I got a job up here, I felt real comfortable real fast.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a time for a commercial break. You're listening to KFUR Radio. If you have a question for District 32 State Representative candidate Van Lawrence, we're at 907-458-8255. That's 907-458-TALK. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
In this election, lower 48 outsiders are going to try to grab Alaska's Senate seat.
Lisa Murkowski's right. Lower 48 outsiders want Lisa reelected, so she'll do whatever the D.C. establishment tells her. It's why Mitch McConnell is spending millions of dark money spreading lies about Kelly Chewbacca. After 21 years in the Senate, Lisa Murkowski changed. She used to represent Alaska, but now she's controlled by Joe Biden and D.C. political insiders like Mitch McConnell. That's why Murkowski voted to kill Alaska energy jobs and confiscate our guns. Lisa Murkowski isn't working for Alaska anymore. She is working for the D.C. establishment, her Democrat allies, and the dark money groups funding her campaign. Why is Mitch McConnell so scared of Kelly Chewbacca? Because Kelly Chewbacca won't be bought or bullied by Washington. Chewbacca will always fight for Alaska, and that will never change.
I'm Kelly Chewbacca, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Kelly for Alaska.
During Mary Peltola's first month in Congress, she followed in the path of the congressman for all Alaska, Don Young. Working with Republicans and Democrats, she already pushed through legislation to help veterans with food and grocery bills. An effective bipartisan leader, Congresswoman Mary Peltola kept Don Young's chief of staff as her own as she continues his work developing our natural resources, creating jobs, lowering prices, and supporting veterans. And Congresswoman Peltola joined Senators Dan Sullivan and Lisa Murkowski to push the federal government to allow construction on the Willow Project this winter. Mary Peltola is building on Don Young's work on Magnuson-Stevens critical fisheries legislation that they worked on together before he passed away. At his request, Mary testified as an expert witness in Don Young's committee on this bill. Now she is championing it as Alaska's member of Congress. Fish, freedom, family. That's Mary Peltola, a new leader for all of Alaska.
I'm Mary Peltola. I'm running for Congress and I approve this message.
Paid for and authorized by Mary Peltola for Congress.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR. Weather.
Flurries likely today. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 7 above. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 1 below. Tonight, cloudy skies. Overcast skies tomorrow. Chance of snow. Daytime highs approaching 19. 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And I got upper management in the studio here with me, Perry Wally, making sure we got all the buttons on correctly. Oh, he's stealing stuff. That's right. Yeah, he was. What did he steal?
Hearing.
You're an attorney. Are you going to represent him, you know, from that theft?
Well, since I'm a witness, I'll have to avoid that.
Oh, darn. If, you know, if you can't have fun and smile on the air, what can you do? If you can't go after Perry Wally, the guy who signs my check, who else can't you go after?
And it was his father that sat in this chair.
Yeah.
Way back.
It was. But going way back, when you arrived in Fairbanks, what was it, some of the first things you did?
Well, I came here in September of 1978. Like I said, I had been in Anchorage for a few months, and I got a job as a data collector for the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which I had worked for previously, going around finding out what prices of different merchandise and foods were, and it got me around. I mean, I got to meet people. I remember driving out to Live and Good to price a loaf of bread. And
out in Live and Good.
In Live and Good. You know, the Consumer Price Index requires data. And even though Fairbanks was too small to really have a statistical sample big enough for political reasons, they wanted to collect data, you know. So that's how I got up here, just for politics, actually, is what brought me up here.
You've had an extensive history of community service. When did you start getting into that?
You know, I was recruited into the Fairbanks Kiwanis Club by Marlon Smith, and I remember going to Russ Green's house, which I sadly learned yesterday that he had passed away.
Yeah.
But Russ... he was the heart and soul of the Fairbanks Gowanus Club for a couple of decades, and a good man. And they talked to me about it, and I joined in 1980. And I remember the first Christmas tree sale. The trees were brought up on rail cars, and we had to transport them onto semis or trailers. Mm-hmm. And then, so we had to load and unload every tree twice to get it into the Kiwanis building at the fairgrounds. The Kiwanis building was built for the specific purpose of selling Christmas trees during November and December. And then the fair association got to use it the rest of the year, and it was the Ag Hall. And it was built, I think, in 66. And then there was an addition was made, I think, in the summer of 1980 when I was in the club. And it's a tradition for me. My daughter would always come and help. And I think it's a tradition for this community, for people to come and look at, come and check out the trees and hopefully buy them. But there's nothing like the smell of a real Christmas tree. And so I've been involved in 44 Christmas tree sales.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. My middle brother, Danny, he's in Prescott, Arizona. He's been a member of the Kiwanis there for 20 years. Since he's been down there selling the Christmas trees.
They do that too.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys aren't the only one with that business plan. It's a good one.
Well, we're the only club that does it in Alaska.
Yeah.
And it's a good fundraiser. It's where we get our money to help support, other community service organizations. We've built cabins out at Lost Lake, and we sponsor youth organizations such as Key Club and mm-hmm. Boy Scouts. And so, I think it's contributed a lot to this community. I've been involved in other community organizations, not as long, though. Mm-hmm. I was a member, one of the original members of the Fairbanks Pioneer Home Foundation, which was set up in order to try to solicit money from the community to help, help with the Pioneer Home here. Kiwanis was involved in creating the foster grandparent senior companion program, and where seniors could volunteer to spend time with either children or with other seniors. And I was on the board for that for a couple of years. And I was on the Fairbanks Concert Association more recently. But I believe in community service. I think it is something that we all should try to do. And being involved with youth, I have found that if you get youth involved in community service when they're in school, they'll keep doing it. And so I intend to stay in Kiwanis, as long as I can.
Yeah. You heard me say earlier that you're a Fairbanks when you spend two winters in Fairbanks. You're also a Fairbanks when you've been involved in three community service organizations, because every Fairbanks is usually involved in about two or three other things, along with their job, raising their kids, and, right. Little League, Kiwanis, yeah. Barbecue Association.
Yeah, right.
Those things that you just do.
Yeah, yeah. It's what makes this community a community.
Yeah.
And I think younger people are less into joining organizations and more into ad hoc type activities. And, that's okay. We got to get used to it. Us boomers have to get used to it. But I still see a lot of community service in this town by people of all ages.
Your journey has been a long one for campaigning. UFTA. You have 7 days 8 hours, 24 minutes left. But who's counting?
Right.
Everyone who comes in, I look at the clock and say, okay, here you go. When did you start and how did you start?
You know, actually, I started late. I did not start until the day of the filing deadline. And I just felt like, you know, the two other people had filed, and neither one of them had held office before. And to tell you the truth, it strikes me that if you're going to run for elective office, you know, you take baby steps initially. You start with a municipal election, and you learn about your community. And I realized, you know, I had 6 years of legislative experience, and I'd been around much longer than the two opponents that I'm running against. And
give an alternative.
I said, why not?
Yeah.
I figured, yeah, give the people an option.
You know, it's not easy. You know, you're a husband, you run a business, and you run a campaign. And time matters.
It does. It does. A campaign is a second job. And it's full time. It's not part time. And, you know, frankly, campaigning puts stress on families. You know,
the only reason why I laugh is, yeah, I know that. And boy, I'm glad you're saying that to the rest of Fairbanks right now, because it really does.
Really? I mean, my wife, you know, she's working almost as hard as I am.
And she's expecting results, buddy.
Yeah, she is. She is. I mean, she's...
So basically, she's upper management.
She is. And she wants me to win. Mm-hmm. And she wants me to win. And she's putting in a lot of time and effort to help make that happen.
You know, it's never over. And what I tell a candidate like myself is, the only thing you really run out of is time. You run out of time. Before you know it, it's election day, and you're saying to yourself, God, I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd done this, or I wish I had more time.
Yeah, although, to tell the truth, when it gets here, election day gets here.
You're ready.
I'm ready for it. I really am ready. And it's happening now. People are voting now.
Yeah.
So in a sense that it's, you know, the decisions are being made every day now.
Yeah.
And but most people will make their decisions on the 8th.
Fairbanks, it's funny the conversations we have that you don't listen to. And we're talking about, boy, am I ready for this to be done. You know, every candidate comes in here, boy, am I ready for this to be done. And then they say, but I got another week.
Right.
I got another 7 days, 7 hours, and 23 minutes.
and elections here are so close.
Yeah.
And every vote counts. And so you got to keep working it all the way to the end. And, you know, just hope for the best.
Yeah. Put it in and win, lose, or draw. You've done it. You've done it right. I congratulate every person out there who's make that choice to run. It is not an easy decision. And then once you make the decision, you find out real fast, it's not an easy thing to do.
No, I know that.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break here. We are going to, I got some great bumper music for you. I approve this bumper music. It's the Doors, Roadhouse Blues, and we got some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts has temporarily blocked the House Ways and Means Committee from accessing former President Trump's tax returns.
Lower courts had sided with the Democrat-led congressional panel, but the Chief Justice has ordered both sides to present written briefs by next Thursday after an emergency appeal was filed by Trump's legal team.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. With just a week before the midterm elections, the latest Fox News power rankings indicate shifts largely in favor of Republicans.
In the Senate, the toss-up races of Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Nevada remain, but Florida's Senate seat went from lean to likely Republican, and Washington's Senate seat has moved from solid to likely Democrat. In the House, it's now down to 26 toss-up seats, as 7 seats move out of the toss-up category and toward Republicans.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that a landslide in Petersburg knocked out power on Monday night. According to a Facebook post from the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, a large landslide covered milepost 6 of the Mitkov Highway around 5:20 p.m. DOT maintenance teams are addressing the issue but not able to start removal work until the area is stable. According to a post on Facebook, one pole owned by Southeast Alaska Power Agency is destroyed and another is damaged. Tanana Chiefs Conference will be receiving a $30.3 million federal grant to fund broadband and infrastructure in rural interior communities, according to a Friday press release from Senator Lisa Murkowski's office. The funds will provide communities in the Yukon-Koyukuk census area and Hughes, Huslia, Alatna, and Alakakit Native Village statistical areas with affordable and reliable high-speed internet to be used in homes, schools, and workplaces. TCC is proud to have secured funding for this vital infrastructure project on behalf of our tribes along the Koyukuk River, TCC Chief Brian Ridley said.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm part of a typical Alaska family. We fish on the Kasilaf, hunt off the Denali Highway, and work here in Anchorage. It's why I'm glad Mary Peltola is representing us in Congress. Just like Don Young, Mary's been a representative for all of Alaska, working with both parties to create jobs and develop our natural resources, like the Willow Project. And she's continuing Don's work on the Magnuson-Stevens Fisheries Bill. Don even brought Mary to D.C. as an expert witness on Alaska's fisheries. Mary's a lifelong Alaskan who hunts and fishes, she's a gun owner, and believes in personal privacy, especially with reproductive health care. She thinks that's none of the government's business. Please vote Mary Peltola for Congress. She's pro-fish, pro-family, pro-jobs, and pro-choice.
Paid for by Vote Alaska Before Party. VoteAlaskaBeforeParty.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Vote Alaska Before Party is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Winter is here, and maybe you're already feeling it, that closed-in feeling. That means it's time for a road trip to Anchorage, and the Diamond Center Hotel is ready to make your stay complete. First, there's their central location, just a short distance from skiing, sightseeing, shopping, and dining. And after a long day, their large rooms offer all the amenities, including their custom-made ultimate dream beds, plus the luxury of their deep-soaking jetted tubs, big enough for two. So get ahead of that cabin fever and come see what Anchorage has to offer at the Diamond Center Hotel. Book your room today online at DiamondCenterHotel.com or give them a call at 770-5000.
When a senior living facility in downtown Fairbanks needed energy-efficient windows and automated doors for easy handicapped access, they knew where to turn for help. Bart Lebon listened to their concerns and delivered for our seniors.
This is Representative Bart Lebon. As a member of the House Finance Committee, I've always made our seniors a top priority. With my vote, funding for the required building upgrades was included in the approved capital budget. I would appreciate your vote on November 8th.
This ad paid for by Bart Lebon for State House.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prusin studio here with Van Lawrence, State House of Representatives candidate, District 32. And, of course, during the break, we talk about food.
We do. Now I'm going to have to go and get some lunch after this.
You're running. What are you looking? What's your platform? What are you looking at wanting to do once, if you do get elected?
Well, you know, certainly one of my goals, and no one person can do it, is to get affordable energy to the interior. This area is you know, is kneecapped by these high prices, and it's stifling our economic development, and it's, you know, it's robbing families of much needed money. So we need to address that. You know, the state has subsidized the development of Cook Inlet gas fields, and South Central certainly has benefited from that. And we've got a little benefit through because of IGU, but you know, we need to have more gas brought down here.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Van Lawrence, candidate District House 32, and your name is?
Good morning. This is Al.
Hello, Al.
Hey, my question is for the candidate is if you were elected and got down at Juneau, would you support using general funds to support the concept of a long trail from Seward to Fairbanks?
Yes, I would, actually. I was disappointed that the governor vetoed some of that funding. I used to, you know, I went to college and law school back in Washington, D.C. and Virginia, and we had the Appalachian Trail go through the western part of Virginia, and I walked parts of that. And I think it would be a big attraction for tourists, you know, for younger people who like to hike. I think, you know, Alaska is maybe the most attractive and beautiful area, certainly in the country, maybe in the world. And to have a trail, I think, would you know, definitely attract tourists and bring dollars into this state. And it also would provide recreational opportunities and enjoyment, you know, for Alaskans. So I'm in favor of that trail. I know it's going to take a long time to make it happen, but I think it's a good idea.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for the call, Al.
Yep.
On your platform, there's fuel disparity, of course. We've always had that here.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, also, from my perspective, and I felt this strongly when I was on the Borough Assembly, the most important function of government is education.
Mm-hmm.
And the state, I think, has failed students for the last 8 or 9 years by not increasing the
base student allocation.
Yeah, the base student allocation form, you know, the amount. I mean, they increased it a little this year, you know, 30 or 40 bucks or so. But, you know, since 2015, it's pretty much the same. And yet costs have gone up significantly since then. So that translates into the state is providing less support for education. And that, to me, is not the way to go. The future depends on our youth getting enlightened, quality education. And the state has to play a big role in funding that education. It's stated so in the Constitution. And, you know, if I'm elected, I'm going to work to make sure that public schools are more fully funded. Also, you know, I want to invest more in the university. It is a true economic engine, not just for the interior, but for the entire state. And it creates a whole different kinds of industries and professions. And we also, you know, need vocational trades in this community. And I think the governor vetoed funding for vocational trades. I think that's short-sighted. And I think, well, we're all aware of the fact that people in their 20s and 30s and 40s, more of them are leaving the state than coming to the state. And that's been happening for the last 7 or 8 years. And it's really having an impact on our economy, our ability to you know, to have economic development, to have people available to do jobs that need to be done.
Ready for another phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio. Your name is?
This is Aaron.
Hello, Aaron.
How y'all doing today?
Good. And yourself?
Good. I was curious. I heard you talk about more fully funding education and increasing the funding to the university system. What's your proposals for where that money comes from?
Well, you know, we need to, I think, broaden our revenue base for the state. It's too narrow at this point. It relies pretty much solely on oil and on the interest from the permanent fund. So, you know, broad-based revenue, I think, is what we got to do, where no one segment of the economy is asked to pay more than it more than its fair share. It gets spread out. But, we do have to have a fiscal stability and predictability. We can't just rely on the boom and bust of the oil prices or the stock market. You know, we need to support our own government, and we need to help pay for it.
So broad-based revenue, like a sales tax or an income tax?
I'm open to suggestions. You know, an income tax, the only reason I would consider an income tax, or the only way I would, is if the tax was rebated to Alaskan residents, maybe 6 months after the PFD. But we can't. What galls me is flying in and out of Alaska is all. I constantly sit down next to somebody who's either leaving a job on the North Slope or Pogo, and going back to their home, and they're taking good paying jobs, but they're not contributing any money towards the infrastructure that makes those jobs possible. And so, you know, if there were to be an income tax, I would target it to the out-of-state workers. And legally, you can't do that, but you can refund money to Alaska residents. So
if you get a dividend, we'll rebate your taxes.
Correct.
Yeah. Aaron, thank you for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. You know, it's interesting how you addressed people who come up here and take the money and don't spend it up here. One of the first things that hit me as mayor was coming through COVID, a lot of people were working from home, quote, remotely. And then I sit down in the mayor's office and they want to work remotely, but they want to move to another state. And I brought up what you said. I said, look, I will allow it for the critical item of the dispatch, because we're bringing people back online who've retired, and we can set up a dispatch for them in their home. That's it. If you're not living in the Fairbanks community, then you're not working for the city of Fairbanks. Simple as that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that should apply to the state as well.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in seeing out-of-state workers, you know, at least long-term out-of-state workers, working for the state.
Yeah, it's something we've dealt with so long. And like you say, they take the money, they go to Hawaii, California, Idaho, Oregon, wherever it is. They're not paying an income tax, but they're not buying a home. They're not buying gas. They're not buying groceries. They're not paying real estate taxes and paying for school education. Simple as that.
Right.
There's always that gall.
They're taking the money and running.
Yeah.
And that's part of why we need to improve our vocational training capability in this state so that we can fill our own jobs.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. If you have a call for Van Lawrence, candidate, District 32, State House Representatives, we're at area code 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
He's a neighbor, a friend, a local kid, our mayor. That's what folks say about Jim Matherly. Jim's been a mainstay in business and public service since he was a young man, right here in Fairbanks. Six kids and even a grandkid later, Jim's still working hard for us. And that's why he'd like your support for state Senate. He knows inflation hasn't helped our finances. Some of us are really struggling. We need more jobs, a reliable PFD. Add in public safety and health care and education, and suddenly it's pretty clear. We need new leadership in Juneau. Jim Matherly is just the kind of fellow to change our course and make life better. So by November 8th, make sure you vote for Jim Matherly for state Senate, because he cares. And Jim wants to keep helping our community get back on track.
Paid for by Jim Matherly for state Senate.
Expressway Auto reminds you that when you change over your tires this season, that you ask them about getting an alignment for your vehicle. Whether two- or four-wheel drive, your ride will benefit with less tire wear and longer life for your treads. In addition, Expressway now offers a full selection of tires for your car, light truck, and SUV from Yokohama, Nokian, and Toyo, so there's no better time to get everything done all in one place. Expressway Auto, your Napa Car Care Center, stands behind what they do with their 36-month, 36,000-mile warranty. Call for your appointment today, 888-659-0631. Expressway Auto in North Pole.
The Eye Clinic of Fairbanks is thrilled to announce they now accept United Healthcare and other new vision care plans, such as First Look Vision Network and Always Care. Now you have even more ways to save on your eye exams and glasses. Benefits are easy to use. You can learn more by checking with your HR manager or call the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. The Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 7 above. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tonight lows around 1 below. Cloudy skies again, tomorrow chance of snow, high of 19. 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prusen is here with candidate Van Lawrence. Now, you know, Van, I walked in here this morning, and I got a bone to pick with the radio stations. I thought for sure, after yesterday's Halloween, that most of the people here would smuggle half their kids' candy and bring it down here for us to have, but they brought nothing. I've really got to have a good wet floor with upper management here.
Really? I mean, come on.
They came in here and stole the headphones, but they don't steal their kids' candy.
You know, and you're doing the kids a favor. You know?
Yeah. or some of your radio hosts a favor anyway. It's a two for one.
Yeah, well, I had a lot of kids come by last night, and I'm always the one to buy the Halloween candy because I buy what I like.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm hoping that there'll be some left. And there was some, but not much.
It was funny yesterday at the city hall. We had a lot of trick-or-treaters through there, and we just had a pallet full of candy ready to go. Well, not exactly that, but just a lot of candy. So as trick-or-treaters would come up, I said, there's two rules. One, you got to pet the Dalmatian, so everyone pet the Dalmatian. Two, we don't give you a piece of candy, we give you a handful of candy. you're going to start living City Hall as a young kid.
All right. So you bring your dog, huh?
Yeah, I brought the dog. I was it was funny, I was we dressed up as the Chick-fil-A cows. we had these little signs on us that eat more chicken. I had a safety suit with spray painted black dots on it. So it went well. But there's also a lady in finance, and she came out as Cruella de Vil. So they were popular. And then this lady in engineering, she won the best costume. She came out as Beetlejuice in the black and white. So, oh, man, her and that dog together, that was a classic. So everyone had a great time.
I realized when I move up here that adults get into Halloween here in Fairbanks more than any place else I've ever lived.
Yeah. And
it's not just a holiday for kids.
No, it's not. So, a couple items on your platform. Any other ones?
Well, like I say, education is key, but my experience, I was talking to Rob Meyer, who expressed the surprise that there's only, I think, 3 members of the House who have municipal government experience. And like I say, to me, that's where you, if you want to enter into public service, that's where you start. But I think one of the things that that I will certainly work for and fight for in Juneau is to increase community funding or community money to the states, from the state to the municipality. Mm-hmm. I think it used to be almost like $100 million a year, and it's down to less than 30 at this point.
Well, you sort of hit it on the head with revenue. We're a sole source. Price of oil goes up, we're great. Price of oil goes down, and it went down, and all of a sudden we're paying for our own school bond initiatives. No one ever thought that would happen,
right?
And here it is. And local governments had to make some tough decisions.
Yeah, and I happen to think local governments can make better decisions about how money is spent in their jurisdictions than the state can in many instances. So I'd like to see the legislature and the governor set aside more money for municipalities and just say, here,
there you go.
You guys decide how to use it.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Van Lawrence, and your name is?
Hey, it's Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I used to be totally against the natural gas thing in North Pole, Fairbanks. A friend of mine last year hooked up, and he all the time complained about his oil bill. Oh, it just was killing him. And he hooked up to it, and he was bragging, nonstop talking about how it lowered his price to heat his house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been calling them, and they're real close to my house, but they're not close enough. How would you back that to push that through so that it could lower our fuel cost using the natural gas? Now, a lot of people I know aren't, just like I was, turned off to it. However, as soon as you get educated to this thing and see, wow, what it's going to cost you, it kind of turns the table. So I'll shut up and listen and go from there. And yesterday, I got to tell you, Dave, I apologize for being so fed up with the school thing about all of the classes that, all the stuff they put these kids through.
You're a pretty adept person, and you're a good phone caller, and there's no reason to apologize.
Well,
you brought out a lot of feelings of a lot of people, my friend.
I got pretty wrapped around that, and I was going to call you back because I just felt terrible after I hung up the phone. I shouldn't let it bother me so much. I should be happier that at least, we have a great community here.
Yes,
and
we do.
The teachers do a phenomenal job.
Yes, they do.
It's not their fault that a lot of this is pushed down their throat. And I felt terrible, so I want to apologize to you and the listeners and stuff about that. But anyway, get back to the gas. I'll shut up and listen, and I love your show every day. Talk to you later.
Bye. Thank you, sir. You take care. Bye.
I can totally relate. I've got a good friend who owns a lot of rentals around town, and he's been, for the last half year, hooking up the gas every place he can. And he's paying half as much to heat his places now as he would have if he had stayed on diesel. So I luckily, I've applied because I waited too long, and hopefully I'll get hooked up next summer. But I'm lucky to be in Hamilton Acres because the gas lines are there. I know that I think Grier Hopkins sponsored a bill that I think enhanced IGU's ability to bond, and I certainly would support anything we can do to make the Interior Gas Utility a successful and viable and frankly growing utility, because that You know, two years ago, gas and fuel oil didn't. There wasn't a big price difference, but there sure is now. And natural gas is also burns cleaner. So I think in the short and maybe intermediate run, natural gas is our best bet as far as trying to bring in affordable energy. So, yeah, I think, you know, I think people need to hook up if they can, and they need to pay attention and support the utility getting more funding or being able to raise more funding to extend its lines.
Ready for a phone call?
You bet.
Final phone call of the day. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Van Lawrence, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Hi there. Back in 2019, Senator Scott Kawasaki sponsored a bill called SB 82, and what it did is it would create an anti-discrimination law for sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression. It didn't go through. It didn't pass, but he did have several co-sponsors, and I was wondering if he introduces such a bill again, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression, anti-discrimination, and it makes it over to the House, would you consider co-sponsoring it or at least consider supporting it?
Well, you know, it's all in the details, but I happen to think that there is discrimination against a minority, you know, regarding gender identity and sexual orientation. There is discrimination, and it's whether legislation can address that discrimination effectively. So, you know, I would consider it. I would certainly consider it.
Until you see what it is, you can't say yes, you can't say no on a bill.
But I think government can play a role in trying to protect people from discrimination.
Van, we got about 2 minutes left. I'm going to give you another, let you have a good close, your platform, about yourself. Thank you for being here. Go ahead and let's wrap her up, buddy.
Well, David, I very much appreciate you inviting me to come onto your show. And it's been around for a long time, and it's going to be around for a long time. You know, I love this community. I think that the people here are, you know, are good people who have dreams, and I want to help those dreams get granted. And I think what I have that distinguishes me from my two opponents is experience. I have, you know, as I said before, I had legislative experience. I have community service experience. You know, I raised my family here. My daughter, I helped raise my daughter, who went to Weller and Tananaw and Lathrop. And Alicia thrived in this community. And so it's...
It's where your heart is.
Right. This is where I belong, and this is where I want to work for my neighbors and for the people in the interior. I think that they're good. You know, that these people deserve good representation, and I'll you know, I'm not saying that I'm necessarily going to be the most qualified legislator in Juneau, but of the three choices for District 32, I think I have the most knowledge and best experience to be an effective legislator, and that's why I'm running.
Van, thank you very, very much for being on here with me. Greatly appreciate it. Fairbanks, that's all for today, but on Friday, I'm going to have my oldest brother, Dana, on. He's the chairman of the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, and we'll have some questions for him about expansion of IGU, I would think. Anyway, you all have a great afternoon. I'll see you on Friday.
KFAR 660 AM, Fairbanks. K2.